Hi, good morning. Welcome to Saturday AMP. At this time, I hope that you could pray with me and for me. I was speaking with... I felt like the Lord kind of imparted a particular word in my heart this week. And I spoke with, Jackie and Marcus and earlier this week. But then in the middle of the week, he decided to... kind of change directions on me. So, I hope that this message would, it's something that I just kind of am chewing on personally. So I hope, it'll be some sort of encouragement for the body. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for bringing out your disciples out to pray this Saturday morning, Lord. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that that this house, that prayer never ceases in this house, God. Father, Lord, at this time, I just humble myself before you and before the cross and before my brothers and my sisters. And I just pray, Lord, that you protect my mind from distractions, my tongue from error, and my heart from pride as I just convey what you have imparted onto my heart, God. Father, I pray, Lord, that you govern the words of my mouth and that there will be no gap between your intended will to encourage this body today and my words. Father, we just thank you for the Holy Scriptures, and we just thank you that your word is a light unto our path, lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's turn to Joshua, Joshua 5. Joshua 5, the book of Joshua is a fantastic book for anyone who's going through a time of transition. And in my life, personally, I feel like I'm about to step into a new season. But also, I feel like the brothers and sisters around me, especially those who are part of this body, are, getting new jobs. They are, they're moving from Hong Kong or to Hong Kong, or, a lot of people are preparing to be parents and preparing to be husbands and wives. And, I just really felt like the Lord is kind of telling me that this body is ready for a new season. We had the fast behind us and the anniversary weekend up behind us. And we also have the retreat coming up. So I just thought that this will be a good time for us to just kind of prepare for what God has in store for us. Let me just give you a bit more context so that we understand the context of what's going on here in Joshua 5, okay, before we read the scriptures. In the book of Exodus, you guys know, a really cliff note version is, the Lord raises up Moses, and Moses is commissioned to set the Israelites free from the bondage of Egypt. After 10 miracles and signs and wonders, 10 plagues, the Lord frees the people of Egypt, and they go around in the desert, and then they walk into the desert, they come to the Red Sea, and there's no way, and there are chariots in the back. The Lord splits the Red Sea, and the people of Israel move now into walking to the Promised Land. Throughout that time, all they do is they complain. Okay, but the Lord still gives them manna when there's no food. He strikes a rock, makes it basically into like a fire hydrant. Okay, he protects the Israelites from the bites of serpents and scorpions, and he does all these things, and then they eventually come to the Promised Land. Okay, and this is in the book of Numbers. And the Lord says, okay, you have to go into the Promised Land, where it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And basically what happens is the Israelites, they don't really believe God, and they decide to send in spies, okay? And then they send in 12 spies. Spies come back and say, we can't go in, okay? It's just too intimidating. So then they cast a ballot whether they should go in or not. They eventually say no. The Lord gets fed up and furious with their disobedience. And he swears against the people of Israel and says that no one in this generation is going to see the Promised Land. Okay? And therefore, they walk around the wilderness for 40 years, and then they come back to where they were, at the brink, at the verge of entering the promised land. At this time, Moses is dead, and a man by the name of Joshua, who, by the way, is only one of two other men who've actually come out of Egypt, are now ready to come into the promised land. And so here are the Israelites getting ready to step into a new season, and the Lord says, I'm about to bring you into a new season, but there are some things I need from you. Okay, and this is where we're going to pick up. The Lord says, you are now about to go into the promised land and start your conquest of Jericho, but before you do that, I'm going to hit pause, there are a few things I need you guys to do. Okay, so that's where we are at Joshua 5. Okay, so let's read from Joshua 5, verse 2 to verse 12. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who had come, who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt was not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they had stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate the produce of the land on the day of the Passover, the day after Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Let's look at that last verse one more time. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Amen. So, like I said, a new chapter, a new season is starting for the Israelites. And in the same way, God has been speaking to me, but he may also be speaking to you about going into a new season. This concept of seasons is kind of actually new to me in a way, right? It's kind of something, you know, that Christians kind of overuse a lot, right? Like, oh, I'm in this new season of receiving or whatever it is, right? But yeah, like I said, you know, there are new seasons, whether you're getting new responsibilities in your job, or whether you're getting promoted in your job, or whether there is a change in your life, a stage of life, again, going from single to dating, dating to marriage, marriage to being parents, right? These are all new seasons of your life. And or, you know, a season, maybe a new year, right? Maybe at the end of the year, right? December 31st, right? We all come here and do service, right? Or you might earmark your year based on maybe SP's retreat or, you know, or your birthday or something. Whatever it is, I feel like the Lord wants to promote us into a new season. But he says, before you enter the place I have in store for you, before you enter the place of fulfilled promise, there are some things I need from you, okay? And he tells Joshua that he needs some things from the Israelites, okay? And so let me just give you my 3 points today. The first thing that he says is, I need everyone to be circumcised, okay? All right, let's be grown up about this. Circumcision is the removal of the foreskin of a man's penis. Okay? And, in this case, I should say of a man who's Jewish. Okay? In this context, Jewish. Okay? And the Lord says, to Joshua, before you all go in, everybody needs to be circumcised. And actually, he gives some rather very specific instructions in verse 2. He says, take flint, okay, which is a type of rock, smash it on the ground, and take broken pieces of rock and circumcise your people. Okay, take broken pieces of rock and circumcise your people, of which some of them may be like 40 years old, right? If they were born right after they left Egypt and they're coming here now, that's 40 years old, okay? No scalpel, no anesthesia. Oh, that's painful, right? But what the Lord is really saying is he's saying this. He's saying, I need you to go through the painful process of recognizing that if you're to walk into this new place of fulfilled promise, then there is some stuff that you need to cut off. Okay? You can't march into my place of promise until you've learned to get rid of some things in your life. You see, notice that circumcision for the Jew is of the foreskin. Okay? Circumcision for the Christian is of the heart. And Christianity is a daily practice of circumcising the heart, cutting those things off that get in the way of our walk with God, cutting those things off that hinder us from a deeper relationship with the Lord. The Bible says that it's a practice of laying down every weight and manner of sin that's so easy trip us. That's Hebrews 12:1. Okay? Jesus puts it this way. He says, deny yourself. Take up the cross. Deny yourself and follow me. Another verse in Hebrews says that circumcision, basically cutting things out of your heart or being a Christian, is choosing to suffer the afflictions of the people of God rather than to enjoy a season of personal pleasure. Circumcision of the heart for us as Christians is a daily practice of cutting anything off that stands between us and God. Now, obviously, this may not be the message that you want to hear first thing on Saturday morning, right? But you know what? We contemporary Christians like the name it and grab it, you know, name it, claim it, whatever it is, right? Believe it, receive it, right? But you know what? We at this house, I feel that the Lord's not calling us to convenient Christianity. He is not calling us to easy discipleship. And rather, he's calling us that we need to go through a painful process of sometimes cutting things out. Okay? Now, you have to ask yourself, why does God demand circumcision? Okay? Well, circumcision is actually not something new for the Jews, obviously. It's a sign of Abrahamic covenant. Okay? It is what the Israelites have used to identify themselves as people of God. It's something that makes them look different and makes them set apart that they are part of a greater promise. And if we are not engaged in the practice of cutting some stuff off from our lives, then I feel like we're just going to walk into a new season looking like everyone else. And the Lord is saying, I am not allowing you to march into my next season of promise for you just so that you could blend in and look like everyone else. Yeah, the Lord is looking for people who are unashamedly Christian, unashamedly saved, right? He's looking for those people who are not afraid to say grace during lunchtime, right? I know, I've been there. I've been like, thank you, Jesus, for the food. Thank you, amen, right? In front of my colleagues, right? But there ought to be everybody, anybody, and somebody who's looking at you ought to know that you are saved, that you are a little peculiar because you have come out of the unclean things. You know, I really feel like the Lord wants to anoint us, right? And say that, you know what, there's going to be an anointing on your life when people are going to know that you're different, right? People ought to know that you're different. And one of the ways that we do that is by being able to cut things out of our lives. Okay? So what are some examples? Fear. Cut it out. Doubt. Try to cut that out. Worry. Anxiety. Bitterness. Anger. Unforgiveness. All these things are things that we should be cutting out. Maybe, just maybe, you may need to cut some people out. Yeah, I said it, right? I know we're supposed to be all loving and whatever. But if there are people in your life who are, let me be very, very careful here. If there are people, I'm not saying cut out unbelievers. That's not what I'm saying, okay? I'm saying you need to cut out people who are intentionally and deliberately hindering your walk with God. Okay? And that's where I'll put it. Last month I was in the U.S. and I had some time off, so I went down to South America, and so I'm about to go on this trip, right? And so I go to Newark International Airport, okay, New Jersey, one of the worst airports I've been to in my life. About to check in with United, one of the worst airlines, right, apart from Cathay. Okay, obviously that's not the right place for me to say that right now, right? But I had a real interesting event. There was a lady in front of me who was throwing a fit with the ground staff, okay? And her thing was that she did not want to check in her luggage, okay? And so the lady was like, "Ma'am, you need to check in your luggage. This is not going to fit on the carry-on. You cannot bring this onto the carry-on." And the lady was like, "There's no way I'm bringing on this carry-on. There's no way I'm checking this luggage in. You know, y'all people are going to lose it, blah, 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 blah. And it's a carry-on. I need to bring it onto the plane." And so she's like, "I want to see the supervisor." So this guy comes over, and like, we're all watching this happen, right? This guy comes over and is like, "Ma'am, sorry, you cannot bring this onto the plane. It is too heavy, it's too big, you need to check it in. So either you're not going to get on the plane, or this luggage is not going to get on the plane, and you choose," right? And so the lady finally, after like 10 minutes, throws the bag onto the scale, right? And it's like I kid you not, it's like 45 pounds, okay? It's like not carry-on weight, right? And the guy looks at her, he's like, "Ma'am, what is on this thing? And like, what is in the suitcase anyway?" Right? And she says, "My clothes and my shoes." Okay? And the lady who was helping her first looks at her and says, "Ma'am, you do not need your clothes or your shoes on the plane," right? And I feel like that's what the Lord is kind of saying to us too, that there are some luggage and some baggage we need to get rid of because we're not going to just need it in our next season where God wants to take us, right? So the first thing that he says is, you know what? There are some things that you need to cut out. The second thing he says is, there are some things that you need to cut out. And then look at the scripture. It says, after they were cut and circumcised, they stayed where they were until they were healed. And this is what the Lord says to us. He says, "I can't release you until you have been healed of what hurt you. You can't go forward until you've dealt with some of the stuff that made you hurt yesterday." It gets, yeah, it gets a little quiet, obviously, because we often come to the end of a tailing season, right? End of a year, end of a season, end of the week. And we try to come back and say, and try to make it look like we were not hurt, right? We try to act like nothing's hurt us, that we're all okay, right? How many times have you come into Sunday service like that, right? No one knows that you're hurt. You look good, you're smiling at everyone, and no one knows that you're struggling. But the Lord is saying that you cannot move forward until you acknowledge that you are hurt. If your heart was broken, come to God. That hurt. If you lost somebody, that hurt. Especially when you have to accept some things that were not meant to be. Yeah, that hurt. If you've If you were betrayed by someone that you never thought coming, that hurt. Something was said in your ears, or something was said about you that you can't get over. Yeah, that hurt too. If you bring your everything onto a table, and you give it your all, and you have to walk away empty-handed, that hurts. These are all examples of hurts. But the Lord is saying that if you are to walk into a new season, and if you've been hurt in some ways or in some places or about some things, then you need to sit down where you are and get healed. You have to let go of some things. Whether that be some bitterness that you have to get rid of, whether that's some unforgiveness you need to extend. Every one of us are hurt in some kind of way, and there are different avenues and ways that we need to get healed, right? But I promise you that the Lord will not bring you into a new season until you are healed of it, right? And I'm sure that if my house church leaders were to listen to this, they'd be chuckling because they're both river ministers, right? And just to give you an idea, I acknowledged that I was hurt, but that was like 6 years ago because I have a cascade form. Okay? All y'all don't know what cascade is because it doesn't exist anymore. Okay? It's what preceded river. And I still haven't gone through it because I just haven't submitted it in, right? But you know, we have inner healing here, other places have inner healing. There are different ways that you can get healed, right? But that's what the Lord says. And he says that if you don't deal with the hurt of yesterday, and this is why the Lord says it. He says, if you don't deal with the hurt of yesterday, you're not going to appreciate the glory of tomorrow. Okay? You know, if you're to remember where the Israelites are, right? Remember that they're on the other side of the Jordan, and they're on the other side of the Jordan, and they're before Jericho, which means that they're actually in enemy territory. Okay? The enemy is looking at them, is watching them, and yet the Lord says, sit still and get healed. Okay? Now you have to wonder, why would God do that, right? If you, I know everyone here are Bible readers, so you all know that in Genesis 34, there's an episode in the Bible where the Lord, where there's a band of brothers who actually go and kills people who are circumcised because those men who are circumcised violated their younger sister Dinah, right? Go read it. Genesis 34, really odd story in the middle of the Bible, right? But this is why, because men are weak when they're healing from their hurts. And so if I was the enemy, this would be the perfect time for me to go attack. But still the Lord says, even if your enemy is around the corner, I want you to sit and heal. And this is the lesson that he wants to teach us. He's saying that while you're healing, I'm going to fight your battles. It's going to be me that's going to fight your battles, not you. Right? That I'm going to be the one that's moving mountains. I'm going to be the one that's going to be delivering you out of your hands of the enemy. Right? It's going to be me that's going to be fighting your battles and not you. So you know, I feel like a lot of us here know what that feels like. When there's nothing that we can't do, when we can't stand on our own feet, right? When we need deliverance from the enemy's hands, it is the Lord who fights for us, not us. Because if you try fighting for yourselves, it's not going to work. And I know that. Right? Men are weak when we are healing from hurt. Well, men as in mankind, right? So the Lord says that there are some things that you need to cut out, and that there are some things that you need to be healed from, okay? And here's my last point. The Lord says, I'm going to stop the manna. No more manna. That's the last verse that we read today. Now let's have a biblical review for those people who don't know what manna is, or if you failed Sunday school. Manna is when they were wandering around the wilderness, the Lord opened up heaven and gave them food. Okay? And this food, they were eating for 40 years in the wilderness, and it was meant to show up in the morning and last one day, okay? Except for the Sabbath, it lasted for two, okay? Because you're not supposed to go and collect things on the Sabbath, right? And the Lord, I felt like the Lord for the Israelites needed to teach them that He's a provider. And He's been a provider for you and me. He's been a provider where He's brought finances at the right time, brought a word of encouragement at the right time. We all know that God is Jehovah Jireh and that He provides, right? But yet He says, no more manna. In order for you to move into your next season, I need to cut out the manna. God, what's up with that, man? Right? Why cut the manna? Well, a part of the reason is because if you remember what manna is, again, the actual literal meaning of manna in Hebrew is not a noun. It's not a place, thing, or person, right? It's a question. And the question is, what is it? What is this? Where did it come from? Can I eat it? How is it made? Manna is a question that, let me put it this way. Manna is a term of uncertainty. Okay? Manna is a question that has yet to be answered, and it is a conundrum that hasn't been solved, a complexity that hasn't been simplified. Manna just means I do not understand. Okay? And could it be that God is inviting us at the edge of a new season because He's saying at this juncture, there ought to be some things that you're not uncertain of. There ought to be some things about me that you ought to know is true, and that there are some things about me that you better not be doubting. Could it be that the Lord stops the manna because we ought to know that He's going to take care of us, that He's going to move mountains, that if you call on His name, that He's going to deliver us, and that He's going to work all things for those who love the Lord. You know, by now, and this goes back to the book of, the writer of Hebrews says, no, the writer of Corinthians, right, says, Paul says to the church in Corinth, by now, you should be eating meat. Right? Remember when he says that? He says that there's a maturation of your faith, and that means that when you are maturing in your faith, that there are some things that you shouldn't be doubting anymore, right? You shouldn't doubt whether God's going to provide the next morning, right? And that's what he's saying to the Israelites. He's saying that there ought to be some things that you are not uncertain about. I have really quick other suggestions as to why he might be stopping the manna, and I'm going to stop there. God says, I got to stop the manna because there ought to be some things that you're not uncertain of anymore. And I'm going to stop the manna because in order for you to move into the next season, I got to place a new desire in your mouth. I got to place a new desire in your mouth. It means that we need to hunger for something more than we are right now. If you recall the Israelites, and it's not in my notes, but the Israelites, when they were walking through the wilderness, they were like grade A complainers, right? The Lord showed up every time and they complained. And one of the complaints was, it was better in Egypt, okay? And one of the ways that they said it was better in Egypt was when they were telling Moses that the food was better in Egypt, okay? And what I felt like the Lord was saying is that He's now transitioning our appetite. He's transitioning our hunger from the food of bondage to manna. And now where the scripture says into a place where we are eating the fruit of the promised land. Actually, the food in Egypt, they actually used the example of garlic and onion. Okay. So garlic and onion is actually the food of bondage in biblical terms. I'm Korean. 90% of what we eat is garlic and onion, right? But he's saying, you know, garlic and onion is bitter, but the fruit of the promised land is sweet. And my question to us today is, I believe that God is placing in our hearts a new hunger for Him. A new hunger, that more is on the way. Do you believe that? Do you believe that more is on the way? And do you believe that the greater is yet to come? My question is, what are you exactly hungering for? And do you want just enough? Do you just want manna? Right? This is the food that they've been having for 40 years, and the Lord says that I need to change your appetite. Do you want more than what God? No, I should put it this way. Do you want more? No, sorry, that does not make sense either. Okay, I'll put it this way. What do you desire from God after what you need from God? Okay, I'm going to say it one more time. What do you desire from God after you get what you need from God? You know, everybody wants God when they need God, but that's not the kind of discipleship that we want here at this church, right? We want to hunger for God in new and better ways, and we want to desire righteousness and crave justice and hunger for righteousness. Do you thirst for a deeper relationship with God? And this is my last point. So Ernie, if you want to prepare for worship. So he says, I'm going to stop the manna because you ought to know that there are some things that you are not uncertain of. You need to hunger for me in new ways. I'm going to put a new desire in your mouth. And this is the last point. He says, I got to stop the manna because I need to put a new demand on your faith. Hear me. You cannot go to new levels with God with the same faith that you have now. Every new level of God requires a new level of faith. And faith is what the key is into the next season that God has in store for us. And if you can only trust God with the current level of faith, then brothers and sisters, unfortunately, your experience of God is not going to change. God is not going to usher us into a new place that is greater than our faith of who He is. So the Lord says, I need to put a new demand on your faith. Because the level of faith that you operated with in the wilderness is not going to be enough to sustain you in the promised land. The level of devotion, the level of discipleship that brought you through the wilderness, that brought you through this season, it's not going to be enough. So I need to demand more of your faith. And you know what's interesting? Manna showed up every morning, right? Manna showed up every morning. Fruit from the promised land requires work. It requires us to take a seed, plant it on the ground, nurture the seed, and wait for it to grow. New faith this season expects us to work with our hands, to nurture our spirits, and to wait for God to respond. That's where faith is. So, brothers and sisters, when we are about to enter into a new season, the Lord asks us to do a few things. He says, we need to circumcise our hearts and cut some things out. We need to sit still and heal. And God's part is, I'm going to stop the manna. I'm going to stop it because you ought to know that there's some things about me that you should not be uncertain of. And I want to put a new hunger in your mouth. And I want to expand the scope of your faith. Let's pray. Yeah, Father, we just thank you, God, for this time. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this time where we are, just on our knees, God. For those of us who need help in cutting things out in our lives, Father, I pray, God, that you give us the courage and the faith to do that, God. Father, for those of us who are healing today, God, I pray, Lord, that you speak your word of encouragement, that your spirit flows in this body, God. And Father, Lord, we thank you that you've been so faithful and that there are things that are not, that we are no longer uncertain of when it comes to you, when it comes to your faithfulness, God. So Father, I pray that, Lord, that you give us a new hunger to drive on into the next season. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you expand the boundaries of our faith, that we get to know you and have a deeper relationship with you, God. Father, Lord, that's for us individually, but for this church, I pray at this moment that you expand the scope of our ministry in this church. And Father, as we prepare corporately as a body to enter into a new season, Lord, I pray, God, that you, that you work individually, but also in ministries, God, through the pastors of this church. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us to carry on the mantle of prayer in this house, God. Would you receive this worship with delight? Amen.
My life began. You have been faithful.
Let's go into our Saturday prayer topics. Let's first lift up our community who's battling a form of cancer, or whether they're going through chemo or radiation therapy. This time, let's just choose one name, and let's really call it out, and let's pray in Jesus' name that they'll be healed. Let's pray for members of our community. Let's stand with our members. For those who know someone who is battling through something right now, but also need a word of salvation. The best thing we could do is to stand up with them and fight with them. Pray for those who are battling other infirmities. These are members of our community. If you know any of them, then call them out again, and let's pray. Let's lift those up who are currently looking for work. And let's go into our Saturday topics. Let's pray for North Korea. As you guys know, there's been a lot of development in a positive way. And I like to believe that that's happening because the church is getting onto our knees and praying for it. That the fact that you are here today and that this is a Saturday topic, who knows? It might have been because the Lord decided to listen to your prayers, right? So let's lift up, they just came out with a summit location. Let's lift up that there will be a complete healing in this part of the world, yeah? Let's lift up, come on. Let's also pray for other missional opportunities and partnership in Asia and also the persecuted churches around the world. Especially in the Middle East. The Middle East is where the Lord gave the Israelites the promised land. Let's reclaim it. That it'll be a place that's flowing with milk and honey. Let's lift up, guys. Let's lift up other SP Weekend Gatherings, Alpha, EG Retreat, GIC, Women's Discipleship, Prison Outreach, Drug Rehab Outreach, Sunday Services, Noah's Ark, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SP IN Services and Activities, and all other meetings. The house churches that are meeting today, Fortress, House to House, Mawan, South Side, and West Side. Let's lift up. Yeah, Father, we come to the end of a season, and we are about to go into the conquest of a promised land, Lord. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you, we thank you for your promise in our lives, and we just pray, Lord, that we're going to go and we're going to conquer it, God, and we just humble ourselves before you in this time as we just lift our voices in prayer. We thank you for who you are and how faithful you've been. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.